Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three. Great to have you in. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Looks like the sun's going to peek its head out there. It's not like I would know. I have like a sliver of light popping through. Could be raining for all I know in here. I don't even know why I say it. I guess it's to bring a little optimism to the top of the hour.
It's all right.
Yeah, but I can't see anything. And his big head blocks most of my view.
Hey, why is everyone ripping on me today?
I'm just kidding. It's a very proportionate head. It's very proportionate.
I'd hope so.
I'm just ripping on where you're from, not you.
Yeah, it's not you personally. It's just okay. everything about you.
You're lovely. You're the best.
Thanks,
don't
Lo.
Listen to these
Thanks,
guys.
Lo.
Dontrell Willis, the D-Train, is going to join us in a few minutes to get into the phenomenon that is the trigger man, Andrew Triggs. The Giants, with an opportunity here, go streaking. They're going to face Bronson Arroyo tonight. You can't win this game. Pack it in and let the Padres take second last place in the NL West. Travis Schlenk, assistant general manager of the Warriors at 8:45. That's the same time we're going to give away some tickets. For right now, here's the great Dan Dibley with your update.
Yeah, Joe, the Warriors might find out their next opponent tonight. It's Game 6, Western Conference semifinals. San Antonio leading Houston 3-2. The Rockets will host Game 6. Kawhi Leonard, questionable with that ankle injury. Game 1 of the conference finals will be Sunday at 12:30 or Tuesday night at 7:30, depending on what happens tonight in the Western Conference semis. Story number 2, the A's able to take home the series with the Angels, thanks in part to Chad Pinder.
There's a high fly ball right center field. Maven going back, nearing the track. Maven at the wall, looking up, hits the top of the wall and goes out.
Wow.
How do you like that? And just like that, the A's take a 2-1 lead. A towering drive to right center field in the second home run this year for Pinder in the bottom of the fifth inning, 2-1 in favor of the A's.
Ken Korak, the call here on 95.7 The Game. Andrew Triggs walked the first three batters but got the win, his fifth of the year. The A's are in Texas tomorrow. Giants come home off a bad road trip on a good note.
And the shot into the gap, and this could clear the bases. Nunez scores. Pence scores! They all score! And the kid cleans them up.
Christian Arroyo clears the bases. Giants beat the Mets 6-5. A 7-game homestand begins tonight. They've got the Reds in town. Ty Block against Bronson Arroyo. The update sponsored by Novato Chevrolet in Novato. Drive a little, save a lot at Novato Chevrolet. Find new roads. I'm Dan Dibley on your home for Warriors playoff basketball. They're back at it either Sunday or Tuesday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Crack staff in the back doing an excellent job. D-Train called up. Connection wasn't good. They shut him down, told him to call back. And it's Melvin's last day. Nice work back there, Melvin.
Melvin.
Nice work back
Not
there.
Not Bob Melvin.
Good job, Melvin.
Melvin the intern.
God, no. Bob Melvin's got better things to do. Like probably sleep in a little bit and enjoy his off day for this 6-game roadie that's coming up where you should hopefully be able to win 4 of 6. We've got him. He's a World Series champion, 2-time All-Star, one of the best guests to appear on this program, Dontrell Willis with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. D-Train, we were just in a discussion based on what happened with the Washington Capitals and Wizards last night. If you were to look all across America to find the worst sports city, and you had to weigh in on this in some capacity, which direction do you think you would go? Minneapolis has really struggled. Some say Washington is the worst. Do you have an opinion on the matter?
You know what? That's funny that you say that, because I was just saying, so I have a couple of friends that live in the D.C. area, and they've experienced a lot of pain over the last 5 to 6 years. I mean, with baseball, you know, coming up short, even though they've had a good ball club, you know, the hockey team events can always seem to come up short in Game 7. You know, everybody's wearing their jerseys hoping they can, you know, kind of get over the hump, and they always seem to come short. So, and then all the way with the curse of RG3, who I don't want to put that evil on, but it seems like, you know, they have good ball ball clubs, but they always seem to fall short in that division and get outplayed by the rival Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, it's a little tough go over there in the nation's capital for me.
Dontrell, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, Barry Ford, yesterday. Mr. Ford says you owe him a phone call, so let's go ahead and...
I'm going to hit my man up.
Let's handle that unpleasantry straight off the top, okay? Got to clear that up here. A little house business, Joe.
It's all good.
Dontrell, when you played in Miami, you guys had success, obviously, but how were the fans down there? Was it fair weather in that you were good and September they came out, or were they always there for you, Dontrell?
You know what? It was funny, especially, you know, my personality, not to sound arrogant or anything, but, you know, I think everybody started to notice, especially guys in the locker room, they noticed they came out for me, you know, a little more. You heard a little more buzz because, you know, like I said, win or lose, you never know what you're going to get from Dontrell, but it's going to be entertaining. So, you know, and they are always good about supporting us, especially the guys that lived in the area. But, again, I think they always kind of watched us with one eye closed because they were worried about just us leaving the organization because the organization has a rich history of dumping their good players once they get popular. So it's kind of tough for them, and I think that even though they signed John Carlos Stanton and other guys around them, they're still kind of wondering, oh, when's this going to happen where they have another fire sale? But I've always been blessed to been able to get support by there. Was never booed down there, and I've had some games where I booed myself. So, you know, but again, it was always fun, and they always supported me down in South Florida. I always enjoyed it.
D-Train, it's that East Bay swag. They don't know how to handle that in the humidity.
I don't blame them either, though. I tell you what, though, I pitch in front of some crowds where, you know, on dog day, on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and I've heard barking, and all of a sudden I go to dinner, and all of a sudden I'm getting a standing ovation from my auntie. They're like, Train, we love you, but we can't sit in that heat all day. And I understand that, baby. Trust me, I've been on that field, so I said, I respect that. I'll sign your plate right now and enjoy your evening. But I get it, but they're the best fans. They really are.
DJ, appreciate it, man. Hey, what do you think when you look at this A's team? Are they overachieving, or do you feel where they're at where they should be? Do you think this young pitching staff, you think they're going to be all right? And do you think the second half or this middle, getting ready to hit this middle part, do you think teams are going to figure these pitchers out and you start seeing giving up more runs? And just how do you view them in all in general?
I think they are where they are. I think their offense is starting to pick it up. You know, they won 5 of the last 7 after dropping 8 or 9. So that's kind of a sign of a young ball club just learning how to play every day. You know, the bumps and bruises and the aches and pains of just going out there and getting ready to play. You know, Andrew Triggs has emerged as the young ace. You know, I definitely like Graveman, but he struggled since coming off the DL. And you know that's going to happen, especially with Cotton, because, you know, again, they're learning how to get through the lineups, and now that teams have a book out on them, now they have to make the adjustment and see how they want to attack teams. But I'm really, really excited. They walked off the Detroit Tigers. I was a little concerned about that matchup with their lineup overwhelming them, but they did a great job of showing resilience and, you know, play good baseball. So, you know, I always like seeing them in those yellows and hitting those home runs and just seeing that energy, and we are family. So they're going to be right there, but the division is going to be tough, especially with the Houston Astros playing great baseball on both sides of the ball.
D-Train, did you say in that last answer that when you would go in the restaurant and get a standing O, you would autograph plates?
Listen, I swear, I went to P.F. Chang's, autograph plates. It's crazy because the Marlins were always top 5 in TV ratings. So when everybody talks about, you know, the fan base and the lack of, it's actually not true. And I tell you, I've been to many places where I've walked into restaurants and games and people talking my ear off, and I'm like, hell, why didn't you come to the game? And they're like, again, it's like, it's too damn hot, D-Train, to be watching you walk everybody. So, and I don't blame him. I said, you ain't man on that. I wouldn't watch me walk the house either in that heat. So I understand it. But again, they're knowledgeable fans. You know, there's a culture of baseball, and they definitely appreciate and love the game.
Andrew Triggs yesterday walked the first 3 batters he faced, and you had some spells where you had some control problems as well. What do you do as a pitcher when you're clearly going through something where you can't find the dish? How do you get yourself out of it? He was able to do that yesterday and go out and get the win.
Well, you know what? You have to simplify it, and Zoe can contest it. Is sometimes you get on the mound or you get on the field and you make things too complex and you take away from your athleticism. And honestly, you just need somebody to come up to you and tell you to get your butt in gear. Excuse my language, but, you know, and he did that, and he turned himself aggressive. He wasn't afraid to miss the bats. And then what happens is on the mound, the plate just opens up to you. And that's exactly what he did. And he showed me veteran composure on the mound, because usually in a game like that where you're struggling, you know, you kind of – you see guys mail it in. But he knew that he couldn't do that for this ball club and put that bullpen in that position. So I'm really, really proud of his effort. And that was a huge win for that ball club, especially going into this off day feeling good about yourself.
Dontrell Willis with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. There's a trend, an interesting trend emerging in baseball where you've got these power guys, George Springer, Kyle Schwarber, right. Mike Moustakas, Carlos Santana, leading right. off. It used to be the small Billy Hamilton types, the ones right. who could move. Now you got the big guys up there that can swing. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't mind about that. The only thing that's tough is it's not easy, and you're seeing it from Kyle Schwarber. It's not easy leading off. You know, leadoff hitters are an art, you know, and we've had one of the best leadoff hitters of all time in Ricky Henderson. He was able to work the count, but also hit with power and enforce the issue on the bases. And I think that's a lost art. And Juan Pierre, being one of my best friends, I always felt like his game was kind of overlooked and it wasn't appreciated. But with the Florida Marlins, we loved his game because he was the table setter and he put pressure on the pitcher. And when you have a guy that's able to put pressure on the pitcher, 9 times out of 10, he's going to make mistakes to the power guy because he's worried about you stealing the next base. And that's what you're seeing right now in Cincinnati with Billy Hamilton being that burner, and he's able to put pressure on the pitcher, and the pitcher's too worried and focused on the runner, and he makes mistakes at the plate. So, again, I think it's one of those things where you need to go back to finding those guys and those table setters because they're important. But, heck, if you've got a power guy that's able to be comfortable in that position, you can use them too.
D-Train, when you're looking at the Giants, you see them finally get off the stye, got a win last night.
Right.
When you look at his team somewhat, okay, trade deadline coming July, all the different things. Do you think they need to make some moves now, or do you think that this team is going to stay put and they don't need to start that rebuild?
Well, you went out and got Melanson, and he's had a tough go as far as just staying healthy and just finding his rhythm. So, you know, he's on the DL now, and honestly, you just have too many, you know, holds the fill. But, Buster Posey, I talked about this on this show. He's finally found his power stroke. He went and got that good set out of the garage and started to hit the ball with some power. But, again, it all starts and ends with that rotation. And this lineup, they definitely need a little more thump because they're not able to sustain rallies as well as the other teams that could just hit for power, hit for the 3-run home run and what have you. So you're seeing if they get behind, it's tough for them to, piece together a bat to come back and get in that game. So that's why it was really, really nice to see those guys get familiar last night, especially on the road. But they're going up against after the Cincinnati Reds, where they gave up 31 runs in a 3-game series to 5. So if it happens again, man, get your garlic fries and get on that freeway early because it's going to be tough for those guys to come back because of how this lineup is put together.
Oh, man. World Series champ, 2-time All-Star. He's an MLB analyst for FS1.
Follow we won an Emmy, too. We won an Emmy, too. Don't forget that. We won an Emmy, too, baby.
Congratulations. How do you celebrate an Emmy win? Does it compete with a World Series?
Yes, sir. Postseason coverage, baby. And I was out there listening to Pete Rose talk my ear off about everything and anything. Petey's my boy. But, yeah, we got an Emmy. So I'm really proud of this group, really excited, and just really blessed because I work with some of the best guys in the sport. And all I have to do is not mess it up. So I'm just really, really excited, man. I'm really, really proud of us.
Well, the North Coast section got away from you, but the Emmy sure didn't, Dontrell. That's awesome.
Don't bring that evil on me.
That's only this, baby.
Every time I go home and I see 2 second-place ribbons, man, I am absolutely salty, man. But shout out to the NL Jets, man. They bring it home after I left, so I lived through them, baby.
Dontrell Willis, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best in the business. Thank you, Dontrell. We'll catch up with you next week.
No problem, fellas. Have a good day.
Man, he's good.
He's good.
So good.
It's just the enthusiasm, Lowe. You can hear it.
Right. It just keeps rolling, too, man. I love him. I like him.
I went out to Lowell, Washington at AT&T Park yesterday.
How fun.
I figured the best way, the kid's 3 months now, so it was the best way to like, okay, we want to get him to a Giant game. We want to get him doing more. We want to get him to an A's game. But the whole concept of like being around that many people, I'm not sure how it's going to play yet. Very tentative. Would rather err on the side of caution. So we figure, all right, this is an easy way to come in. There won't be a lot of people.
those kids can pitch. High school kids, 3A championship, like those kids can pitch. There's all types of movement. We were sitting behind the plate. Damn, these were just high school kids.
Yeah, 2-0 final, and I think it's especially tough for the hitter to be in a situation like that. You're playing at freaking AT&T Park, for crying out loud. You're not playing at Big Rec, which is where they play a lot of their games, in Golden Gate Park. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a major league yard. Big advantage of the pitcher.
The optics. The optics have got to screw you up because you see the infield, the outfielders are halfway in. And you're looking at this thinking, it's got to be intimidating. But it was fascinating. Fascinating to watch some of the local talent out there.
And shout out Lowell for winning their fifth straight AAA title, beating Washington in that one.
Five straight?
Five straight for Lowell, yeah. It's a dynasty.
Domination right there.
It is. It's a good program.
Dynasty, yeah. It's definitely a dynasty. All right. The offspring of the great Greg Papa, Derek Papa, has been blowing me up, by the way, on the previous conversation. He thinks Buffalo is the worst sports town in America. We got into this. We laid it out with Washington. We laid it out with Minnesota. Dibs talked about Atlanta. Lo, you talked about your time in Cincinnati. We kicked around a lot of concepts. Oakland even got surfaced a couple times because of the inability to build the stadium, right. Two teams leaving.
Sure.
Not saying I agree. It just got thrown out there. He hits me with Buffalo. Look, nobody runs more Buffalo jokes than me. My household is just filled with Buffalo jokes because she's from Western New York, so I take shots all the time. But it's not. It's only two teams. And but to be honest with you, even with the fact that the Sabres have been garbage for a decade, they sell out. Like, they sell out the hockey team. They sell out. They show up for the Bills, who haven't been to the playoffs, longest playoff drought in the NFL. So if the fans are going to continue to show up, you can't call it the worst sports city in America. Generally, a downturn in winning leads to a downturn in attendance. You'll get that in just about every other city. But there, they show up no matter what. So you've got to give them credit for that. You can't name them the worst when they show up, despite the fact that the product isn't all that great. If anyone else wants to weigh in, I can definitely transition it as well.
Yeah,
I just wanted to get my piece in there.
Nice.
With Derek Papa, no.
You should have brought him on and crushed him.
No. You crush him when he doesn't have a chance to retort. That's how you do it. That's how a veteran makes his play. He gets it out on the air so everyone can hear it. No, the other guy doesn't get a shot. That's the beauty of the job.
He might bury you in the caboose pistol today at 2:45, but that's his only shot at you.
Right.
I'll be taking a nap. I'll be taking a nap during that thing. All right, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Where the hell was I going to go here? Yes, baseball. Yes. Where would you like to begin? The Giants? Tonight? It's Bronson Arroyo and the Reds. I've been maintaining this all morning long. You can't win this game. You might as well pack it in. This is the game. You won one yesterday. Christian Arroyo drove in three runs late in the game. You held on. You figured out how to snap the five-game losing streak. No one's looking at a surge to the top of the standings. What we are looking for is the ability to get above the San Diego Padres in the standings. San Diego Padres are actively trying to lose. You don't want to try to win and do worse than a team trying to lose. It's a bad look. Let's call it what it is.
It is, Joe, but you know, you're talking about, hey, this is a look that they should take care of business against Cincinnati. Last I thought they went to Cincinnati last week, and I thought they almost got motorboated. I mean, Cincinnati would outscore them with
31-5 in the three-game series. 31-5.
Right. So when you're looking at those numbers, the Giants right now, Joe, you can't say that they should beat anybody. Until they show you, until they give us a reason why they're going to turn this thing around, until you see them go out and actually start putting it together. Yeah, we talked about Posey starting to hit the ball. Pence had a couple home runs. So we get that they have a couple guys that make things happen at that time. But you had their own skipper talking about he can't explain it. Two hits, five hits, and nine innings. It's just absurd. You can't necessarily win games if this is what's going to happen. So I think Cincinnati, you're talking about get right, Dibs, but they got outscored last time.
Yeah, and Ty Block had his worst outing as a major leaguer. Three innings, he gave up 11 hits, 10 runs.
Wow.
Eight of them earned. Of course, that was in the Great American Small Park, as Greg Papa likes to call it. It's one of my favorite Papa-isms. You would hope that Ty Block can get right in a much more pitcher-friendly park. But I'll be interested to see, Joe, the adjustments he makes, because this lineup beat him up last time out. He only got nine outs, and he had his worst outing of the year.
The change in park should definitely have an effect. The fact that you won yesterday, you had the flight back, should have an effect. The Bronson Arroyo effect. I mean, let's put it like this. Think about this for a second. You are the worst team in Major League Baseball, yet tonight you are a -125 favorite over your opponent. Why would that be? Cincinnati's no doormat this year.
I think they're 3-4 games above 500, second place in the NL Central. That's not going to hold. But the reality is, if you're the worst team in baseball, you shouldn't be trotting a rookie pitcher out there as a minus 120 favorite, not unless he's Steven Strasburg during his rookie season. The bottom line is that it's Bronson Arroyo pitching for the Reds. So if you can't get the bats going here, if there's some sort of excuse after this game, oh, well, you know, it was a long flight. Everyone's got long flights. Cincinnati had a day off. They had a long flight. It's how it works. All right? It's tough, but it's Major League Baseball. They compensate you well for it, and it's a private plane. I understand the time zone differences. I understand their effects on the body. But it's Bronson Arroyo. You can't get 5, 6, 7 runs up on the board tonight and win this thing. Pack it in. Look in the mirror. Pack up your lockers and go home. Because if you can't beat Bronson Arroyo at home in this spot, what else is there? There's the, well, you know, it's still early. Well, it's baseball. Anything can happen. No. Go out and win. Like, this is one of those games that you should show up. There should be a little bit of swagger in the clubhouse. Get some extra rest. Take your BP. Go out there and stick it to them. And then tomorrow night, when the jerseys are orange and everyone's showing up, doing the phone light thing for the rally lights or whatever the hell they're calling it these days, Johnny Cueto's going to be on the mound. Back him up, because you embarrassed him last week when he tried to stick it to his old team. Gave up a couple runs early. Bats didn't do anything in that game. You lost. He would probably like to win on Friday night against that club. You win that game, now you got a winning streak. Now you got 3. And if you figure out between Moore and Samardzija on Saturday and Sunday how to get 1, you got something cooking. You can get it going. Again, it's not to say you're going to win the division. The Dodgers are starting to turn it on, and Colorado's off to a great start. Although I don't see them maintaining that, because their run differential is +9. That's not indicative of a team that's, what, 12 games over. But you can at least get above the Padres. I think right now the focus needs to be on baby steps. Just get above the Padres. A reasonable goal, Dibs, is it not?
Yes, it is. I think an even more reasonable goal is to win 3 of 4 from Cincinnati. And you take it one series at a time. You have a 4-game set with the Reds. If you win 3 of 4, now you have the Dodgers squarely in front of you. Your last matchup with them for the month. And if you take 2 of 3 from them, all of a sudden you have yourselves a nice 5-2 homestand. A little bit of momentum to build. Probably by then you'll be with San Diego, if not a shade ahead of them. And you can continue the march back toward 500.
Day game next Wednesday. Day game next Wednesday against the Dodgers. Might need a company bonding experience.
Sounds good.
Meaning 8 to 10 beers and then public transportation home. Just the implications. Melvin, stop signaling me. You are not invited. You are a Dodger fan. Do you want to go? All right, we'll take you. We'll mock you, though, and we'll let everyone else mock you.
Let's
you okay
him,
with that?
Let's
All right, Melvin, you're invited to next Wednesday's day game if you'd like to come with us. Wear the Dodger hat, Melvin. Don't show up with any sort of shenanigans going on. On the flip side of the equation, a 3-1 victory for the A's last night as they claim the series over the Angels. They're now 16-18 on the season. They get the day off and then a 6-game roadie. 3 against Texas, 3 against Seattle. 2 teams not performing to the level of expectations many projected. I would say this, season ends today, Andrew Triggs might be in top 3 consideration for AL Cy Young. Wouldn't win it because Chris Sale's having a hell of a year, but Andrew Triggs is tied for first in the American League in wins, 9th in ERA, 7th in WAR, 2nd in home runs per 9 innings, 5th in ground ball percentage, 4th in fielding independent pitching. We came into this season hoping for a bounce back from Sonny Gray, thinking we could see a emergence of Kendall Graveman, a breakthrough from Jarrell Cotton and Sean Manaea. Instead, the one position that was up for grabs, the 5 spot, Andrew Triggs. He's the most bankable guy on this team. 28 years old, 6'4", 220, the righty. Bankable. It's been a great start to the season for the kid.
It really has been. And that's what's so interesting, because we talked about Cotton and all those different guys. Sonny Gray, that this was going to be the rotation. And the 5th guy is the one that looks like he's looking more like the ace. So it's just interesting to watch this team and watch these young guys continue to develop. I think it's a shot of, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to see this team play. I remember we had Bob Melvin on the show, Dibs, and you straight up asked him. You said, this Angel team seemed to have your number. And when you guys going to try to change the outcome? Hey, he answered the bell. This team answered the bell, and they beat a team that usually had their number, Dibs.
And it's telling, Lode, that Andrew Triggs is not in the conversation of who's going to lose their spot when Sean Manaea comes back. He threw 4 innings yesterday in a rehab start. Looked good. It's going to be either Hahn or Cotton bumped. Triggs is a mainstay.
Excellent point. He has pitched exceedingly well this early in the season. Now that everyone's got the book on him, Let's see how it continues over the next couple months. From the 510, what up, Joe? Can I go? I like day drinking. You're all invited. Let's all do it. Next Wednesday, we'll go to the Giant-Dodger game. Then we'll get something on the books for the A's games. Get a little tailgate in, too. I mean, we can go right over after the show.
There are tickets available right now for the SF Giants game. So
plenty of good seats.
Get your tickets and see us out there.
You don't even need to get one of the expensive ones. We do the standing room. We just walk around, yucking it up.
Drinking room only.
Generally out by right center. That little Coors Light stand. Great place to throw down.
That's where I saw Melvin on TV. That's where he got busted.
Yeah, Melvin was in that vicinity. I didn't like seeing that he was out in the spot I generally like to covet, but congratulations to Melvin. It's our final day here today, so we're going to send him out by probably mercilessly mocking him for the next couple hours, and then we'll all go home. That's probably the way to do it. All right. The Warriors have off today. They practiced yesterday. Somehow they made two of the three top headlines on ESPN. Congratulations to them. We'll get into that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Tickets to give away in 14 minutes at 8:45, as well as a conversation with Travis Schlenk, Warriors assistant general manager. Great to have you in. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We were about to get into a discussion regarding the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, recent comments that they made. And then we came across some news during the break, and we decided to pivot. So bear with us here. And if you want to weigh in on this, get ready. The phone line is 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The text line is 95795, PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Michael Lombardi, who used to be a front office executive with the Oakland Raiders. He also worked for the Cleveland Browns and New England Patriots. He got his start in San Francisco under Bill Walsh back in the 80s. He's now working for a website known as The Ringer. It's Bill Simmons' website. Tremendous stuff. Lombardi does a podcast with another guy there. It's a football podcast. And yesterday's episode, about 19 minutes in, and we're working on the sound for you now. We're going to play it. Gets to the 49ers and the new era. And Navarro Bowman. And according to Lombardi, the Niners, and I'm paraphrasing here, the Niners have made it known that Bowman is available for trade and that he's healthy. Let that sit in, Raider fans who need an inside linebacker. Navarro Bowman is healthy and being made available for trade by the San Francisco 49ers, according to Michael Lombardi of The Ringer. Lo, you just heard the news two minutes ago. This just came across. First thought.
If I'm the Raiders, if I'm a lot of organizations, I pick up the phone. And I pick it up. And if I'm going to try to work out a deal, I bring Navarro Bowman. Now, you bring Navarro Bowman in. Because one thing you don't have to question about him, his heart and his work ethic. Now, I don't know if the contract that he has, I forget them. I know they did him an extension. I just don't have any years left on it.
7 years, $77 million.
Okay.
That is going to be the biggest obstacle.
There you have it. So as I digest, you would have to make sure that you look at that and say, if you're going to make this trade, it'd be trade to sign a new deal, because $77 million for a guy who's torn up his knee completely, Joe. I love him. I think he's a great player. Just don't know how much thread he has on that knee that had total reconstruction. You saw how bad that tear was when it happened.
Dibs, news surfaced 2 to 3 minutes ago on this situation. First thing that went through your mind.
Wow. I mean, that's a bold move, you know, for the 49ers, a team that has so many young players coming in through the draft and undrafted free agents and free agency, period, to want to part with one of your veterans. It seems surprising, but you could see why. I mean, that contract is a bit of an albatross, to the extent that as long as he's on your team and he's playing, you're going to have to pay him big money. And if you're a team that's struggling, you've got this good player. I don't know if he's a star player anymore. We'll see how he comes back from the Achilles tear as he continues to get toward 100%. But if you're a really good team needing just one piece, like the Oakland Raiders, for example, you need a linebacker. This guy fits a need. Maybe there's a trade partner out there for the Niners.
Your cap hits on the Bowman deal are as followed. The first year of the deal last season, because it was an extension, so that was kind of tied in, was about $10.2 million. This coming season, your cap hit $9.5 million. Then in 2018, $11.9 million. The following year, 2019, which at around 3 years from now will be about 33, 32 years old, that would be a cap hit of $6.4 million, and then you have a potential out. There's a potential out in this deal in 2020. So essentially, you'd be picking him up for what looks to be 3 years. 3 years. According to what I'm reading right now, 2020, this could be conceived as a four-year, $36 million deal that the Niners gave him with the out. I'm not exactly sure what the out is, but that's the information I've come across at the moment. Do you have Lombardi on the Ringer? Okay, this is Michael Lombardi, former front office executive, now with Bill Simmons' website, The Ringer, on Navarro Bowman and the 49ers.
If you want him, he's healthy,
yeah,
that they'll be willing to move. I think this, too, I think what fans have to understand is, and this is what we always did in the league, is whenever there's a new coaching staff, and this is an Al Davisism, whenever there's a new coaching staff, you have to always know that the teams that hire new coaches are going to get rid of players because they want different players.
Yeah, they just want a new – it's right. Just
now,
turnover.
I don't know about Bowman as just being a new player, but San Francisco is going to clean – Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they're going to clear out that roster. Bowman is a guy who's had been a leader in the locker room. He's been part of the team. He had a really good relationship with the old general manager, Trent Baalke. So I think that this is a message they would send to the locker room, that he's no longer in control anymore. Mm-hmm. He's available if you want him. I don't know who's going to pay him $9.5 million coming off all the injuries that he's had, but you can have him. And I think that ultimately, you know, you got to make that decision. I don't think it'll be a lot. I think the 49ers will get rid of him for very little.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point. When a gigantic contract like this is attached to a player who's going to be on the other side of 30 and is coming off major injuries, to get him is not going to cost you much. This isn't going to be a first and a third. We're talking like, I don't know, a fifth, a fourth. If you dangle the fourth right now, if the Niners really wanted to move him and you dangle the fourth, that's a win for them. Because if they don't want him on the roster, they can clear out that cap space and get ready to use it elsewhere, Lo.
You're right, Joe, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. And Navarro Bowman probably won't – now, listen to me clear. He probably not going to go through training camp. He won't go through – you know, like thinking 2 weeks they have the veteran, all the teams have their mini camp. He won't go through it. The risk is not worth the reward. He's been injured, coming off Achilles. They're not – this guy, in my opinion, when you hear things like this, I've been down this road. I think that there's a foregone conclusion that Navarro Bowman will no longer be a 49er. I mean, believe that or not, I don't even think it's going to be a trade, Dibs. I think this is going to be a guy that, unfortunately, they're trying to throw that out there. They're saying he's healthy. I think they'll cut Navarro Bowman.
So if they cut him and you're the Raiders, that's when you'd make your move, would it not be?
Yeah, the price obviously gets a lot cheaper if you have a guy who's a street free agent. And then it's a risk-reward situation for the Raiders if he doesn't work out. If he's not at top form, which the guy had an ACL, MCL tear a few years ago, and then the Achilles injury, and he's got a lot of miles on those legs, and it's really a low-risk move for the Raiders. I would love it if they were able to slide him right across if the price was right.
Think about the leadership you lose and the example you lose for Reuben Foster. That's the one thing I don't like about this from a 49er standpoint. That's a guy who needs some guidance. Not to say he's a problem, but you could learn from someone like Bowman. Bowman was no saint coming out of Penn State, if anyone remembers.
Right.
Not to say he mixed it up and got in a lot of trouble, but he was involved in a couple of those minor Rushes. Things that involve alcohol and, you know, some just kids being kids type stuff. Nothing to get too concerned about, but
Tough. You
still look at it and you wonder, okay, are there going to be some problems here? By all accounts, model NFL citizen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Model NFL citizen, team leader. Productive,
tough,
good in the community, tough, everything you want in an inside linebacker. The type of guy, as a parent, you're happy to buy that jersey for your kid.
Yeah.
Happy to buy it for your kid. That's the type of guy that can develop Reuben Foster.
Without a doubt, he can develop him, Joe. But here's the thing that you got to realize. Look at Kyle Shanahan and you look at John Lynch. John Lynch understands he's been on both sides of it. He's been a GM. He's been a player just like Guy, and he's got cut. He understands how this business works. He went to New England. You know, Patriots looked at him and said, John, you can't do it. John said, okay, I'm retiring. He's in Denver. So John's seen it all. So John is going to sit down with him and say, Navarro, I love when you're watching you play. Man, I love you. He's a smart guy. He's been in this league, and he is going to respect Navarro Bowman. He is going to sit down with him and say, Navarro, get your agent. Let's see if we can get a trade. See if we can get – I'm giving you permission to go shop because they're shopping him. Without a doubt, when you make those type of statements, Joe, you're absolutely trying to move a player. But right now, they're going to see if there's any suitors. And this is another good move by the GM, but John Lynch, and their coaching staff by saying, look, let's see if we can float this out there. Let's see if we can get some suitors. Let's see if we can trade him to get some value. But if they don't, I just think that they look at this situation – guaranteed? How much is it guaranteed if you get hurt on opening day because he's a veteran? Do you want to take that $10 million salary? And that's some of the things that they have to deal with. It's not that they don't love this guy. It's not that they don't love the way that he plays. It's just the injury prone and how this is going to be turning 30. Those are the things that they have to weigh and say, huh, do we willing to do this?
The NFL is a cold, cold mistress. A cold mistress. You know they're shopping Vance McDonald, too. Like, Balky, this is why the Bowman deal I understood. I never had a problem with that. But, like, the McDonald deal towards the end of the year, it was like, what if you're Jed York, if you're Prague, why are you letting Balky sign these deals? You're going to crap can him. Like, why are you letting him do these deals? They don't want Vance McDonald around, not at the price they gave him. Right. But with Bowman, if he hits the market and the Raiders' first two picks are corner, safety, and then they pick up Bowman for the inside spot, suddenly that's a pretty formidable defense, is it not?
Yeah, very formidable. And to your point about the Niners and McDonald, that was a Parag Marate signing. That was him looking at the line item of what tight ends are worth and them valuing McDonald at a certain level. So you can't pin that one on Balky.
Good for him, sometimes, though. At least he got his money.
Sometimes you got to use the eye test. I love analytics as much as the next guy. I love crunching the numbers and looking at salary cap space. Sometimes the eye test. And the eye test on Vance McDonald is what? Not a whole lot there. Makes a couple plays here and there, but not a whole lot there. All right. Travis Schlank, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors, and tickets to give away. All that's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Wow. The NFL news fast and furious this morning. According to reports, Navarro Bowman has been made available for a trade. Lowe believes that based on the contract structure, if the Niners can't find any takers, they may cut the Penn State product before the start of the season. The NFL, according to Tom Pelissero of USA Today, has denied Josh Gordon's reinstatement effort. Josh Gordon denied reinstatement. So that's it.
Wow.
That's it. And if you're Alden Smith somewhere done, thinking you're going to be playing football again, uh-uh. If Gordon's not getting back
no
in,
way.
You ain't getting back in.
Maybe a fire obsesh between the two, and maybe they can go out and run some drills.
Time to get it on Periscope. Start up a new league. Blunt FL.
That's crazy.
Well, that is the nature of the business. All right, ticket window. Two tickets to see Luke Bryan with Brett Eldridge and Granger Smith, with the winner getting to choose from their choice of the following two shows. Option A is Thursday, October 12th at Concord Pavilion. Option B is Saturday, October 14th at Shoreline Amphitheater. Presale runs today from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at LiveNation.com. You'll use the code FAST, as in Fast and the Furious. Public on sale starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. Here's your trivia question. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. In what year did the Washington Capitals last appear in the conference finals? I almost just read off the answer, which I put right beneath it. I just almost went Ron Burgundy and just kept reading and went answer and then gave the year and the team. You only need the year. In what year did the Washington Capitals last appear in the conference finals? For those of you who are really into trying to win these tickets, Anna posts a video on our Facebook page every day that gives away a hint. Every day. 957. I don't know. How do you sell a Facebook page? It's 957 the Facebook page?
Just 957 The Game. Just look up
okay
on Facebook, 957 The Game.
Beautiful stuff. Well, there is a hint there every day. So check that out. Check us out on Twitter at 957 The Game. Hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. We always like to interact with the listeners. But we're going to go to Travis Schlank and interact with him for a little bit, the assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Travis, I'm coming out with a hard-hitting question immediately here. The news broke yesterday that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is considering a run for president in 2020. Would you vote for Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I'm going to have to hear what he stands for before I could give you that answer.
It's very savvy of you. It's very savvy of you. I don't have a follow-up, so I'm just going to turn it over to Dibs.
Travis, he's throwing me a hot potato here. You're heading out there at the NBA Combine, and we had some reports from Kevin Durant yesterday saying the Combine is a waste of time, and he still feels embarrassed over being unable to do the weightlifting portion and do the bench press. What do you think of the Combine, and just how much stock do you and your fellow GM types put into it?
I saw Kevin's comments, and on one hand, I understand where he's coming from. You know, if you're a guy at the top of the draft, you know, to come here and to sit down, if you're going to be one of the top three picks, to come sit down and be interviewed for 20 minutes by the Golden State Warriors who don't have a pick in the draft. I understand where you see that that's a waste of your time. You know, we're not going to get the first, second, or third pick in the draft. To come here, if you're going to be one of those guys, and to play five-on-five with this chance you could get injured, I understand why you wouldn't want to do that. I can even understand why you would want to do the physical testing, or you feel like, you know, that you don't need to do that. I think what the problem is with that is when we talk about coming here to take the physicals. What we have now is you're seeing a situation where guys don't come at all. And so they don't come and take the physicals. As a team, as someone that, you know, picks players in the draft, if you're a team that has a top two or three pick in this draft, you want to, or a team that, you know, might acquire one of those picks, you need that physical information so you can make the choice. Like, if you're going to make a trade or make a pick in the top three in the draft, you owe it to your organization, you owe it to your fans to make sure that you know what you're getting as far as health-wise. So I think there's got to be a way that the league and the Players Association can work together to get these players here. And I understand, all right, you don't have to do all the interviews. You don't have to play on the court. But, you know, we need to get these guys here so we can make truly an informed decision health-wise on these guys. I mean, if you end up taking the first, second, or third pick and the guy doesn't play like a Joel Embiid with Philadelphia, when he's played, he's great. He's been in the league for 3 years. He's played 30 games. I mean, that's not fair to the organization, the fan base. So to try to come up with a system where we can get these guys here just for the medical information. I understand all the stuff Kevin's talking about not wanting to play, not wanting to do the interviews. I understand that. But when you sign your contract in the NBA, you have to take a physical. When you get traded in the NBA, you have to take a physical. Getting drafted, in my mind, and a lot of the GM's minds, we had our GM meeting yesterday, it's the same situation. We should be able to require these guys to take a physical. Now, currently can't, and the Players Association would tell you, well, guys might slide. Well, guess what? If somebody's sliding, somebody's moving up. It's not like the third pick of the team with the third pick is going to say, you know what? This guy's supposed to go third, but we don't like his medicals. We're not going to take a pick. They're going to take somebody else. So, you know, that would be my argument there. Somebody's still going to get drafted third at the end of the day. So I don't know what the answer is to make that happen. But to me, to get the medical information on these guys, that's the most important thing.
Travis, when you think about that, when you were talking, I started thinking about the NFL. Do you guys trade notes and talk about different things? Could you say with the combines with NFL, it's guys still come, the top tier guys still come for the physicals and do all those different things. It seemed like it's more of an onus. You see, it's a copycat different league, start the NFL Network, then the NBA Network, all these different corporations. You guys are doing this for these three, the big three, got their own stations. So why is that? Why is it different? Why is the parity more different and so much more skewed in NBA than in football when it comes to that?
You know, we talked about that yesterday again in our meeting, and it really is, like you said, it becomes, you know, one agent says a guy doesn't have to come, and then, you know, these guys say, well, I'm the same level as him, you know, I don't have to come. So what we've seen, you know, 3 years ago we had three guys not come, and then it was three, and then last year it was five, and this year it's seven. It's just, you know, it becomes this thing where guys, whether it's trying to keep their clients or, you know, they feel like they're going to be one of those top picks, they don't have to, and they're still going to get drafted. Like I said, from my standpoint, if they're going to be one of those top picks and they don't want to play and they don't want to interview with teams that they have no chance of going to, I understand all that stuff, but it's the medical stuff. And, you know, I don't have an answer. I wish I did. And, you know, the NFL, obviously the combine's, you know, a huge event. You know, we've done well in the past with the combine, getting guys to come. It's becoming a trend that they're not. And I wish we could make them, but, you know, the Players Association, the language that's in the CBA, you know, it's very vague, and it doesn't say that they have to come. So it's something they talked about in the CBA, but, you know, there's a lot of pushback, like I said, from the union side, and, you know, there's a lot more important things in the CBA, you know,
in its totality than this.
Assistant General Manager for your Golden State Warriors, Travis Schlenk, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Every year when it comes to the NFL Combine, we inevitably hear stories of, off-the-wall type questions that are asked of some of these players. The justification is generally, well, I want to see how they handle a high-pressure question, or, well, we really want to get to know this guy, and we felt we needed to ask that question. Do you, like, have a line for what you may or may not be willing to ask? Do you have some questions when you're interviewing these kids that you may ask them specifically just to test them to see how they handle it?
Every interview kind of takes on its own life. You know, we've obviously done our research on these guys. So, you know, some guys we know are rock solid guys. You know, other guys may have some things in their past we want to get to. So the first thing that we try to do is try to make the guy feel comfortable, because as soon as you can get somebody to kind of let their guard down, that's when you're going to find out the truth about them. If, you know, if they're tense and uptight and, you know, have their guard up the whole time, you're not going to get to know them. So the most important part is to try to find out about them. But I've certainly had some funny answers in the past. Yesterday we had a kid who's, I won't tell you the kid, but his minor was in geography. And so I just kind of jokingly said, oh, so you know the state capital of Kansas then? And the kid laughed, and he said, you know, that's funny. We were just joking about it. He goes, I don't even know all the states in the country, only ones I've been to. You know, he can get all kinds of answers.
That's a very small minor in geography, apparently. The geography of the things maybe in this room would be that minor. Travis, do you find that other teams now are maybe putting an ear toward what you and Bob Myers and the organization are doing in these settings, in that, you know, other GMs are maybe thinking, hey, this is the team that found Draymond Green. Maybe we should stick a little closer to what Schlenk and Myers are doing at the Combine.
No, I don't think too many people worried about us. No, listen, every team.
You're the man.
Yeah, no, you've only won 10,000 games
the
last 3 years.
Come
no,
on,
no one cares
nice.
What you guys are up to.
Gosh, we're following you around. You probably got guys chasing you right now.
I appreciate that, guys. But listen, though, there's a lot of people out there smarter, certainly than myself. I guess I won't speak for Bob, but, you know, we obviously try to do the best job we can with the information that we're given, and we try to dig deep on these guys. But, you know, it's no secret what we look for in guys, and, you know, character is a huge factor for us. So we do a ton of digging, you know, all the way back to high school and AAU with these guys. Not just the college setting. But that's no different than anyone else. You know, everyone's doing the same thing.
Oh, Schlenk put two sugars in his coffee. Maybe we better put two sugars in our coffee.
Politician.
Assistant GM for the Golden State Warriors, Travis Schlenk with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Travis, thank you for your time. We know you're busy. Have a great time at the Combine. We look forward to catching up again next week.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Too humble. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I'd be following them. I'd be trying to do it.
Of course.
MLB, they'd hack into your system. I mean, if you see the Houston Astros down there, you got to watch out, man.
Why is Melvin just staring at you?
I don't really think they're all that interested in what we're doing. Yeah, they are. They're interested in every move you're making.
You see Myers talking to Smith over there? We got to get a file on this guy, you know? We got to find out what's up with that guy.
Why is he going to Whataburger? Okay, let's give away $1,000. It's a 4K a day national cash contest on 957 The Game. Text the code word SPRING, as in spring is in the air, to 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win $1,000. Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for your chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. How do you not know all the states? Is that an obnoxious question? Do I come across as arrogant saying that? That catches me off guard if someone who's an adult does not know all the states. I'm not saying you need to know them in alphabetical order.
No.
But I learned a song in third grade that I still know to this day, that it's just all the states in a row, alphabetical order.
You should know the names of them. I'm not saying you should even know where they are. I mean,
right.
that whole Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Iowa thing.
That'll trip you up.
It could be a puzzler, let alone your whole thing you got back there with Rhode Island and Connecticut and Delaware.
Oh, you mean where the country started?
New Hampshire. Yeah, they started it wrong. I mean, make a state that's a decent size so somebody can find it on the map 300 years later. What's wrong with you?
Pretty fair point. I had never thought of it like that. We'll get into that in about a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.